Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Jay Stevens Podcast. This is episode number 282, dedicated to a field who on July 10th, 1990, hosted the 61st Major League Baseball All-Star Game, Wrigley Field. And as always, thank you for listening and downloading another episode of the podcast. During today's episode, we welcome back to the show Mr. Philip Jordan. Philip Jordan is the host of the Philip Jordan Show. He does some stuff for high school football down there in Dothan, Alabama, and he's a writer for Last Word on College Football. It's been a long time since Philip and I had been able to come here on the show together. Philip is one of those guys that when it comes to college football, football in general, I love being able to pick his brain and hear some of the opinions that he has about things going on in football, college, or the NFL. But one thing Philip and I always do is discuss sports media, things that are going on, things we agree with, things we disagree with. And with the ESPN layoffs recently going down, Philip and I recently connected. I sent him a text. I said, hey man, can you come on the show? He's like, yeah. I said, hey, I want to talk about the ESPN layoffs. And he was the first guy that came into my mind. I said, hey, ESPN laid off numerous talented people. Who do I want to talk about this with on the show? It was my guy, Philip Jordan. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this fun conversation with my guy, Philip Jordan, the host of the Philip Jordan Show. ESPN recently laid off 20 plus people that were employed by ESPN, some that had been there for 20 plus years, some people that joined the network in 2020. And it was only one person I wanted to discuss this topic with, not a normal discussion or topic here on the Jay Stevens Podcast, but when it comes to media, sports media, layoffs, my guy, Philip Jordan, the host of the Philip Jordan Show. Also, you can catch some of his articles that he writes for The Last Word on College Football. He also does some stuff for high school football down in Dothan, Alabama as well. He does a little bit of everything, and he's today's special guest here on the Jay Stevens Podcast. Philip, it's been a while since you've been on the show. I'm glad you're back with us today.
I am, Jay. And this topic, you know, your audience and my audience, they don't realize that whenever we get together, we usually take 30 minutes to actually record, whether you're on my show or I go with yours, because we talk about sports media stuff. So now we're actually recording this conversation. I'm really excited for this. I always appreciate you asking me on the show. Cool stuff. I follow the media stuff a lot, so I'm excited to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. When it comes to the media and sports media, and I even talked to you a little bit earlier about some radio stuff we're going to discuss at the end of the show as well. This stuff is stuff that I kind of nerd out with. I used to do a whole lot more of it than I do currently, but this stuff is very big to me. The ups and downs, the ebbs and flows. One network has the upper hand here, while another one is falling in this category. I love this stuff. You love this stuff. And Philip, when we saw that ESPN was laying off people once again, and I'm like, well, there's been rumors about people that were going to get laid off for a couple months prior to it actually being official. But it just seems odd, man. The worldwide leader once again is making major cuts with some really good talent. And Philip, I'm going to open it up with this statement. The layoffs, the people they're laying off, it doesn't make sense to me.
There were some head scratchers. The biggest one to me was Todd McShay. Out of all these guys, he's my favorite one because I feel like I'm not a big Mel Kiper guy. That's just my thing. I think Todd McShay is better than Mel Kiper Jr. Yeah. At this point. Todd, as he would say. Mel Kiper Jr. to me is not as good as he once was. He was great at a time. I think Todd McShay is better. I will say this. I wasn't upset or triggered by it, but I also looked at the Jeff Van Gundy one. For me, he is ESPN ABC's best game analyst for the NBA. So my thing is, so who's going to fill in that role? Because I think you can go Mike Breen and Jeff Van Gundy as a team. Mm-hmm. I don't like the Mike Breen and just Mark Jackson team. I think Mark Jackson needs Jeff Van Gundy to play off of.
Yes.
So I was looking at that, I said, are they going to get rid of Mark Jackson? Because I just don't see him working with anyone else. And let's be honest, I think Jeff Van Gundy is going to end up at TNT. We have not seen the last of Jeff Van Gundy calling NBA games at all. Because I actually remember, I think either 1 year when he was with the Rockets or the Knicks way back when their season ended earlier, maybe he got fired. He did some work with TNT. So I know there's a relationship there. His brother is over there. Stan is over there. But that was one that that caught me too. The Jeff Van Gundy one, Jalen Rose, it kind of felt like maybe he was headed out.
Yeah.
His podcast partner, Jacoby, mm-hmm. had left ESPN. So I said, okay, mm-hmm. maybe now those two can get back together, I guess, do their show again. So, David Pollack, I know that's probably one you want to talk about too. That one, I was shocked by it, but my feelings weren't hurt by it either because I don't really feel like David Pollack offers anything unique.
Right.
Other than ticking off Nick Saban when he's sitting right next to you, yes. saying that Georgia has taken over college football. But yeah, it was quite interesting. Those are ones stuck out to me.
Yeah, some of the names that were laid off, people that were laid off this round, this cycle, this is like the second, this is at least the second or maybe third time ESPN has laid off talent, and it's always people that make a lot of money that get the headlines. I'm sure there are some behind the scenes that get laid off as well. I never like people losing their job. I've lost my job before. I have been someone that was let go from a job, and it's not fun to be someone that all of a sudden you're like, I'm not employed. I may have a last check or may get some PTO money, but that's it. Like, we're not making the massive hundreds of thousands, maybe millions that the people at ESPN that get the names are making. We're just regular people, Philip, trying to make it day by day. I never want anybody to lose their job. But Philip mentioned Jeff Van Gundy, Jalen Rose. Another one that's notable to me here is Keyshawn Johnson and Max Kellerman. Two of the three voices that you heard on the ESPN morning show. And their morning show from 6 to 10 has been dying ever since they let go of Mike. They split up Mike and Mike. Now, the way they did it behind the scenes didn't always seem like it was the best decision, and it went down the right way. However, you let go of Mike Greenberg and Mike Golic, a duo that was there for 15, I think maybe 17 years. Really, ESPN put a lot of resources and money into that show, and it's a big reason why the show was so successful. Also, those two had chemistry. It was very clear that they were really good at hosting the show together. But then you let go of them. You have Trey Wingo and Mike Golic, and that didn't really go well. You had Trey Wingo, didn't like waking up early. It was very clear he was not a morning person. Now, he's no longer with ESPN, but that one was there as well. Susie Colbert's let go, and Matt Hasselbeck and Steve Young and Rob Ninkovich, and I'm just like, you're letting go of all of your young NFL talent. Now, these guys may work only during football games primarily. They're still really good at what they do. So what's going to happen now? Are they going to overwork some more people, or are they going to hire some more people to come in? Philip mentioned Todd McShay, David Pollack, Jason Fitz and Jordan Cornette. Those two were odd to me as well. Jason Fitz was, I don't know. I know he had a radio show. Don't know what else he did, but I think he was one that you could let go and not really be upset about. Jordan Cornette to me was an up and coming college basketball analyst, ACC Network, Notre Dame guy, and I do, especially with his wife working there, that was a duo that I thought, hey, let them stay, let them go. But Philip, some of these names that I mentioned, even Jordan Cornette and David Pollack, even though they're more college sports guys, ESPN once again is losing a lot of talent, and I really wonder what's next. We're going to have a discussion about the radio here in a second, because that's a big thing that ESPN used to dominate. They don't dominate anymore. Some of these layoffs, man, ESPN is going to be looking up in 3 to 5 years. And I really believe, Philip, the ESPN in 3 to 5 years of faces will be a lot different than the faces we currently watch right now.
Yeah, you know, it is also a big part of this is how much money they're having to shell out,
man,
for rights. I mean, the SEC, I mean, the other conferences, I mean, what they're going to do there. You know, the ACC, they still have that. Obviously, they want to keep the NFL, and I believe they're going to be able to do a Super Bowl on ABC. The NBA.
Ooh, that's big time. That's huge.
Yeah, I mean, the NBA is one, I mean, that they want to keep, obviously. I mean, I believe ESPN values their NBA coverage more than they do their NFL coverage. And look, it makes sense. You have more of those games. You have one game a week. Maybe two, throw one on ESPN Plus when they have two Monday night games. But generally speaking, obviously, you have more NBA. I think they're more involved with the NBA than they are the NFL. But everybody wants the NFL.
Yeah.
But like you said, with college, the money you got to put into that. And with the college football playoff coming up, well, you know, there's going to be bids on games. We don't know who's going to be. Are we going to have one broadcaster for the college football playoff? I hope not. I hope it's kind of like the NFL.
Yeah.
Where you've got a couple networks involved. I think it's better that way. But and then you can bid out your championship game to other – the networks can rotate. And, you know, and we get different voices every year, not the same. Look, I like Chris Fowler and Kurt Herbstreit, but it would be nice to hear Joe Klatt and them do a national championship game or whoever's going, you know, the NBC crew too as well. So, I mean, it's a sign that, okay, we got to fire the guys. And these is not necessarily saying these guys suck because we know they don't. These are all these, most of these people we named are really good at their jobs, but it's like, okay, but they make all the money. Let's get rid of the guys that we can get rid of, but also to make a lot of money, like a Jason Fitz. I think Jason Fitz is a guy that he does a lot of things well, but he does nothing great.
Right.
So he's expendable because you can find somebody else to do what he does.
Yes.
I tell you what, now I know I don't know, was he really part of the layoffs or did he just leave? And that's Neil Everett from SportsCenter because he's gone.
He was part of the layoff. He was part of the layoff. He's on the list I have right in front of me.
Him and Stan Verrett, that SportsCenter was, I think, outside of Van Pelt, that was probably your second best sports center with those guys because they've been doing that show together for so long. It's interesting. I want to see where these people land. Now, Steve Young is an interesting one to me because I remember reading or hearing on a podcast somewhere. I took some content in somewhere talking about him. So when the whole Troy Aikman, Joe Buck thing was happening in Monday Night Football, there was talk of Steve Young moving into the booth. But apparently Steve Young was not interested because that's a lot of work. He has an easier job showing up for Monday Night Football, Monday Night Countdown, talk about it, and then go home for about 6 days and then come back. So I've heard that, you know, he does it. He likes football, but he doesn't like it to that degree. If I heard correctly, that's what I read or listened to on Steve Young. So we may not see him again. So.
No, I don't. So it's weird. Steve Young fits like the Monday Night Countdown on field stuff. He doesn't really fit what CBS does because the studio, I don't think Steve Young's a studio kind of guy. CBS doesn't really do the on field stuff where it's promoting the big game where Jim Nance or Romo will be. Fox, same thing. If you do on field stuff and it's more like laid back, free flowing, he's good. I don't think he's a good studio guy. If that's true, Philip, and he was saying like it's too much work to be a studio to call a game, that's not the best statement to make when there are people like you and myself and other people out there that are trying to and have aspirations to work at a network or have a different job that's at a higher level. Don't say it's too much work because I think there's people like myself and you that would gladly do the work to be on that platform that he had, but. What do I know? I'm just a guy behind a microphone talking to Philip Jordan right now. Philip, when it comes to you mentioned David Pollack and that not being a big one. My thing to me is he's not the personality of a Lee Corso or a Kirk Herbstreit, but he brings in that nerd football commentary in a different way than Kirk Herbstreit. Herbstreit's a personality, but he also brings in great analysis, but he also has a smile. Like he's been there for a long time. I think David Pollack, I think as good as he is as a college football analyst, I think when it comes to game day, I'm going to miss him, but I don't think the grand scheme of things, a lot of people are going to miss him. Also, I'll throw this in there before I turn it back over to you. I got to wonder if Pat McAfee's going to be back on game day, and because of the contract that McAfee has acquired, if that's the reason why David Pollack will no longer be at ESPN.
Yeah, I think it's got to. Pat McAfee's going to be making, what, $85 million over his whole contract at ESPN. And I'll say something about Pat McAfee real quick. There's a lot of people that came after him after all of this. Look, if somebody gets offered a job, it's not – and I don't mean to be, you know, disrespectful or, you know, not feel a certain way for these guys, feel bad that they lost their jobs. But when somebody loses their job, it's not the fault of the guy that just got hired. It's not his responsibility. I mean, you get offered a job. No. I don't want to take it. I don't want to take that $85 million or this big platform I'm going to have, because it would, you know, do this. I mean, I think this was probably going to happen regardless of Pat McAfee.
Correct.
Signs this contract. So I think it was I don't think it was right for a lot of people on the internet coming after Pat McAfee over this. Go after, if you want to, go after ESPN, because I think that's more of a bad look on ESPN. That's not a bad look on Pat McAfee. Mm-mm. But it does feel like after last year, McAfee is, he's going to be entrenched with game day. And honestly, I appreciate, he's a breath of fresh air for me on game day. I know they, it's like it's a legacy with Corso. As long as he wants to do it and his health is willing, he's going to be on game day. I could do without him.
Yeah.
I could do without Dick Vitale. Mm-hmm. But those guys are legacies. I get it. They probably feel like, especially with Corso, he's been there so long. The crew probably loves him. That's probably more like a family. I tell you who I would have got rid of on game day in a heartbeat. I would have kept David Pollack, even though he doesn't, you know, that's all we see. It's not, he doesn't say a lot, but he has his good moments. I would have got rid of Desmond Howard in a heartbeat.
He should have gone 5 years ago. He's horrible.
I don't Jay, does he even watch games? That's what I don't even know. Other than Michigan, which I don't even know if he watches Michigan games, but it says when he, I don't normally, you obviously know, everybody can see on the screen right now that the my Twitter handle is PJordanSEC. So a lot of times I do watch the SEC Network pregame show more than game day, but I flip back and forth. But I flip over there and Desmond Howard's on the set. That's like, okay, let's go back to the SEC Network, because this is, no, Desmond Howard, I mean, he is horrible, horrible takes. He's kind of boring, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he is. He is. I mean, he has the Heisman Trophy. He played it in Michigan, played the NFL. I think he has a ring.
Yeah, he was with the Packers. Yeah, he was the Super Bowl MVP when they won the one with Favre.
You have stuff there that he did, but when you're trying to reach a new generation, Philip, they're not our age. They don't know who he is. And truly, if they did, they don't care. They don't even a lot of younger people don't even respect Michael Jordan, who, it's odd to say that, but I still think there are people that are that 20 to 28 years old age range that don't respect Michael Jordan, who, and I think game day is trying to cater the show towards that demographic. Desmond Howard could go. As much as I love David Pollack, I'm a nerd, you're a nerd when it comes to this stuff. David Pollack could go. I think Herb Street's going to be there forever, kind of a legacy thing. I think Reese Davis has his thing on lock. I actually think he does a great job. I think Fowler, I don't normally say this, I think Fowler was better on game day than he is at calling big games. He can call college football. I don't think he's the best big game play-by-play guy that's out there. Realistically, they would have dumped a lot of money. Go up there and get Brent Musburger, have him come back, go with Kirk Herbstreit. Fowler won't like it, but that's just me. I love Musburger calling the games. But yeah, man, Desmond Howard can go. So let's do a little hypothetical before going to the next topic for the day, Philip. When it comes to game day specifically, Pollack is gone. We both want Howard out. We both have a belief, I think, that McAfee's going to be there for a few years. Lee Corso is going to be out for a little bit. So let's say you have Reese Davis projecting, Reese Davis at Herbstreit in McAfee. Who do you think should be the fourth person on that panel?
Nick Saban.
And the Auburn people turn their heads and completely turn off everything Philip Jordan has to say.
Well, I'd be happy. He'd be gone. No, I think you need a coach up there, though. That's my thing. You need a coach. So I tell you know who I think could be that, in all seriousness, who could be that guy? Dan Mullen.
Yes. Yes. I didn't want to say it. I thought you were going there, but he's at the top of my list as far as coaches to be there.
Yeah, because, okay, you've got Herbstreit. And then really, okay, Lee Corso was a coach, but he wasn't really successful as a coach. I mean, they call him coach. But Pat McAfee kind of can take the mascot thing.
Yes.
That, you know, he's the more colorful, they get the crowd going. I mean, he is great at that. But then you add that guy, the X's and O's, the coach's guy. Look, Nick Saban, even if he does retire, look, he's in the 70s. He wouldn't be doing that long. I don't think he would do it anyways. I think he's going, him and Miss Terry are going to go to the lake and just say, see y'all. You'll probably never see me again. I might pop up for the national championship game to give you a little analysis, but that'll be it. But Dan Mullen's a guy. I mean, because you got to look over Fox. You've got Urban Meyer, what he's doing. I got another one for you. Bob Stoops, because in in a way he's kind of tied in with ESPN, because I believe he's actually left Fox, not because Urban Meyer came back, but because he was coaching in the XFL again.
Correct.
And the XFL's TV partner is ESPN. So that's another one. I think Bob Stoops did a fantastic job.
I do too.
On Fox. So that's another one you could maybe see, like I said, a Dan Mullen or a Bob Stoops. I think those are pretty good ones. Brian Harsin's available. I don't think he's doing anything. You can get him too as well. He can stay in Boise as far as I'm concerned. But that's some names.
I am holding back any comment or any thought about how he recruited the Auburn Tigers during his time there, because I just don't want to go down that rabbit trail. Phillip, no, I'm with you. Dan Mullen, great option. Bob Stoops, great option. I think one thing that ESPN might try, which I don't think is a great idea, is the TNT NBA coverage, where you have three players who are two are Hall of Famers and one, Kenny Smith, who has a couple rings. Kenny Smith is also a point guard who can direct things in a way that Ernie Johnson can, but a little bit different because he has the former player point of view. I hope they don't go former player in Reese Davis. I think if you have Pat McAfee, great, former player. Herb Street, great, former player. If you try to do another, former Heisman Trophy winner, I'm cool with RG3, but I don't think he's the right guy for that spot. I like RG3 on his analysis of football. I also think if you want to have the Heisman tied to that other spot, he is the guy. You have an Ohio State guy. You have a Baylor guy. You have a guy who's a kicker at West Virginia. Okay, I get like the college ties there. And also you have Reese Davis from Alabama. And you know, Phillip, I didn't realize Reese Davis went to Alabama until Big Game Boomer started doing the polls he makes every summer to boost up his following every offseason. And he said, biggest college football analyst, it was Reese Davis, Alabama. And I was like, of course. Of course, Alabama has somebody on the panel. It just makes sense there. But no, I would think, realistically, if you want another Heisman Trophy winner, to me, somebody already employed at ESPN and somebody that's already doing a lot of big things at that level for college football, RG3 gets my vote.
And look, RG3 be a good one. And if you want to go pluck somebody from the SEC network, Tim Tebow's over there.
I'm not a fan. Not a fan. Not a fan of Tebow in that way. I'm not.
He's good in the SEC ones because he kind of can bring in that rah-rah attitude he had as a player, mm-hmm. especially when they're like, if Florida's, you know, he's good at that. I don't know if game day overall that works. I was trying to think because they have plucked some guys from over at the SEC network before and put them over. To be bigger thing, because Greg McElroy, he was on SEC Nation first, and then he got bumped up to doing games. I tell you, you know who I miss doing games? I miss Jesse Palmer doing games.
He's so good, man.
He's super busy. He's super busy with all the other stuff he does. I think Jordan Rogers is pretty solid at doing it. But they have a good team over there with him, Cole Kublik, and Tom Hart. But I try to think ACC Network. If Mark Richt's health was better, he would be a good candidate for game day. But obviously, you know, where his health is at, that would probably be a no. Eric McClain, a little shout out. He came on the podcast about a month or two ago. He's a good guy. I like him. But look, I no offense to offensive linemen, but I don't see an offensive lineman being on game day. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of like the only ones I could think of just because who's over there at the other networks?
Yeah, I'm with you there. Phillip, I want to end the show on about a 10-minute conversation or so, maybe a little bit longer. I got a little extra time that I planned on. ESPN Radio, in the layoffs, you let go of Max Kellerman, Keyshawn Johnson, and Jason Fitz. Fitz, I believe, had the show with him and Sarah Spain from 7 to 9. I didn't listen to it. I don't know if you did, but I don't think it was really a popular show. Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, Max Kellerman, 6 to 10, the morning show. I didn't listen to it or watch it. Really wasn't too focused on it. It really wasn't that thing. And it wasn't so much that it was like a morning show. They didn't pull me in. I wasn't really even a Mike and Mike fan. They pulled me in a way, but also they were on ESPN2 for all 4 hours. Like, the resources were there. I did more of the Wingo and Golic thing, especially when they added in Golic Jr. But at the same time, that pulled me in more than the Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. They tried to do the Zubin thing early. They had health issues, but also it wasn't a good show. Like, it was just two guys in a room talking who didn't really have the chemistry. when you lose Max Kellerman, he is good on radio. You lose Keyshawn Johnson, he is good for the morning. Jay Williams is still there. His contract is up in a few months. I heard him say that on the Pat Baff podcast. But just the radio side for ESPN as a whole, outside of Mike Greenberg, Ian Fitzsimmons, and Freddie Coleman, they don't have any notable names that pull you in because of their name. At Fox, you have Dan Patrick. You have Jonas Knox in the morning. You have Colin Cowherd. You have Doug Gottlieb. You got Chris Broussard, Rob Parker. You have notable names, not just names from radio. They've been doing this for 20-plus years. They are legends at what they do. CBS Sports, not the same names, but Damon Amendola are really good at radio in the morning. You got Jim Rome from 12 to 3. I think he is easily one of my favorites. But then you also have Zach Gelb from 6 to 10. I think Zach Gelb is one of those guys, if ESPN called, they open up the checkbook, he could go to ESPN because I think Zach Gelb is that good. ESPN and the layoffs hurt themselves on the radio side, and they were already falling on the radio side. Philip, I don't know what your thoughts are about this, but mine quickly are ESPN continues to hurt themselves on the radio, and people like us, I think there's people out there like us all around the country, love radio, love ESPN radio, what it used to be. I wish it was what it used to be, because what it is in its current state, it's not an enjoyable thing to listen to.
Yeah, it used to be legendary. I mean, because you would look Mike and Mike in the mornings. Then you had Colin Cowherd, which I don't know what happened to him when he went to Fox. He changed into this other being. I like ESPN Cowherd. I am not a fan of Fox.
No, me either.
I don't know what he's going to do when Aaron Rodgers retires from football. I don't know what he's going to talk about in football season.
It's kind of like Skip Bayless and LeBron James. Skip Bayless is going to have to find a new thing because once LeBron's gone, Skip loses what made him of millions of dollars.
Yeah, and then, of course, you had – now, this is when I first started listening to it. You had Dan Patrick.
Yes.
Was coming on after Cowherd. The legend – I think Dan Patrick's the best in the business. That's my opinion. I think he's the top guy. But then after he left, and it was Scott Van Pelt, and then Ryan Russillo, Doug Gottlieb was on after them.
Mm-hmm.
Now you look at you named off a lot of those shows. The only notable name for me is Mike Greenberg. But here's the thing: even Pat McAfee called him out in the past year. He's out all the time.
I have never seen a guy on a radio show who is gone. What's it feel like? He's gone. Not literally, but he's gone like 6 months out of the year. He might legitimately have 3 months of vacation. I'm not being exaggerating. I think he might have 3 months of vacation, and he utilizes it because he's like, oh, well, I got to do my get-up show. Bro, you have a radio show from 10 to 12 that could get a lot of money. But also, keep in mind, Philip, I wrote down some stuff. He's competing with Dan Patrick. He's not going to win that time slot. He can beat Bill Ryder from CBS, but if it's Greeny or Dan Patrick, Dan Patrick wins every day. So Greeny may be like, well, I'm not going to win anyway. I'm going to take my vacation. But yeah, Pat McAfee is correct. He's gone all the time. That's not a good way to build a show.
If he wasn't doing Get Up, if you put Mike Greenberg on in the mornings, that might be your ticket. But he's doing Get Up. And look, I'm not going to talk about the subject matter he talks about now because this is a sports show. I tell you, guy, I think they may miss Will Cain.
Dude, Will Cain, realistically, I want to take a thought you just had. If you put Greeny, let's say even from 6 to 10, that's a very long show. If you put Greeny from 6 to 10 and then somebody else from 10 to 12, if you have Will Cain from 12 to 3, you're winning. Now, he's once again, you're putting him up against Jim Rome and Colin Cowherd. It's not really a good thing, but Will Cain pulled people in, and he also found a way to captivate an audience that was against what he said, but also listen to every word he had to say. So Will Cain is a huge one, a big, big loss for them.
I used to see people on Twitter and social media call him. They always joked that he was ESPN's answer to Clay Travis, that he was their version of Clay Travis. But yeah, Will Cain was one of those guys. Look, you hate him or you like him. People were listening to him. I mean, Bomani Jones called into his show to disagree with him. And what I will say I appreciate Will Cain, he's willing to have you on if you disagree with him.
Yeah.
But a lot of guys won't do that. They won't say, no. You know, yeah, a caller may call in to disagree with you, but another personality, they don't want to have those conversations. Will Cain is willing to be proven wrong. He's willing to listen, I think, and have other people on. I mean, just look at him and Stephen A. I think that's another thing ESPN missed. But they talking about all these people. Max Kellerman's gone from First Take. I'm not a First Take person.
Me either.
That's kind of like at first I was turned off by Will Cain and too because I felt like he took Ryan Russillo's spot place at ESPN. It was just a little, little jealousy part, you know, at my on my part there with that. But First Take would have been a whole lot better if you could have kept Will Cain, which Will Cain's doing what he's doing now over at Fox News. But I think even now they probably look at, man, if we still had Will Cain on the radio, we would be doing all right.
Yeah, no, that losing Russillo was big. When they let go of Bomani Jones on the radio station, I was not mad. I liked Bomani Jones. Like pre-COVID, I used to be a big Bomani Jones guy. I think now he's gone too negative and gone too much of the negative storylines that I don't really want to hear about all the time. I used to listen to his podcast religiously at the gym when I don't care. I don't care at all. But losing Bomani Jones wasn't that big of a deal. But Will Cain is somebody that he can fill. Now, maybe not the best morning guy, but you want to say somebody that can go from any time slot between 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. until really 7. Will Cain can fill that with his political commentary, with his sports commentary mixed in and intertwined. He can do it. I want to play a little game with you, Philip. I didn't really plan on doing this. Literally just thought about this a couple of seconds ago. But if you could pick four, let's say five guys to host a radio lineup, you could pick them from anywhere in sports. They could be Clay Travis, who's at Outkick, owned by Fox, but also has a radio show, political radio show. It could be Will Cain at Fox News. If you could pick five guys that you could put at any time slot to be the voices on a radio show, a national radio show, what are five voices you would pick?
Well, I would pay them a ton of money. I would bring back Outkick to coverage with Clay Travis. And honestly, I just loved it when he did the Animal Thunderdome on his sports show. So that would be my morning guy. Him and that whole crew he had at Fox Sports, because it was funny what they do. Because one of the radio stations here down in Dothan, before the local show comes on, they have Fox Sports, and Clay would come on. Yeah. Now, he trigger you. It's like Will Cain. He may say something that you didn't like, but also he may say something you do like. Mm-hmm. So that would be my number one. Might be my morning guy, my morning host. Honestly, I would go with Cowherd, like his old time slot at ESPN. I would put him on like at 9 o'clock to come on right after.
I got a thought for you. And not to interrupt you, I'm writing this stuff down as well. Do you think that Cowherd going full on TV hurt him?
It doesn't feel like the same show. Honestly, I actually enjoy listening to his, if I listen to Cowherd, which I don't listen to him on a regular basis, his podcast he does 3 days a week kind of feels more like the Colin Cowherd radio from ESPN, I remember, versus what he does on TV now, because sometimes radio and TV works. I don't think his does, because it feels more like, if you listen to his radio show podcast, I feel like I'm listening to a TV show audio.
Mm-hmm.
It's different.
Yes.
I agree with you. I think the TV part kind of, it takes away a little bit what he used to be at ESPN.
You got Clay Travis in the morning. You got Cowherd. Who are the three other guys you would have on your radio lineup? I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that thought entered my head.
So on midday, you got to go. I would go with Dan Patrick. Follow him up 12 o'clock, 12 to 2, 12 to 3, somewhere in there. Go with Dan. After Dan, we had to reunite the most dynamic duo in sports talk radio history. I'm not talking about Mike and Mike.
No, I know where you're going with this. I know exactly who it is.
I'm talking about SVP and Russillo. Those two together are gold. But Jay, look at what Ryan Russillo has done since he's left ESPN. I go check out the iTunes or Apple podcast, the rankings. Russillo is consistently in the top five.
Yes.
And he is such a bigger deal now than he was at ESPN. And I think that's only because ESPN didn't really just push him. I mean, but so me and you mentioned these two guys off the air. So you know how I would end the show, because these two guys would be perfect for the drive home at 5 o'clock, because where do a lot of people go? Look, I'm not a drinker, but a lot of people may want to go get them a little drink after a long day at work. Marty and McGee would be the perfect guys to end your day. Now, they're weekend guys, I know, and they do other things for ESPN, but I just feel like those guys would work as your drive home. Now, Ryan McGee, I think they would have to talk a little bit more of the maybe NBA and MLB, not just college football, and they sometimes pretend they know what's going on in the NFL, but I don't know. Marty and McGee, hillbilly headlines, all that good stuff they do. And selfishly speaking, I was very triggered a few years ago when they got rid of the Marty and McGee podcast.
That was, yes.
So perhaps if they were a Monday through Friday radio show, they'd have a pod. But that would be my dream, I guess, draft of my lineup. So now I'm going to throw it at you.
Go for it.
Now, yeah. This is your show.
Yeah.
What's yours?
Well, I was going there next, and I kind of broke it down into 5 3-hour time slots for you. Clay Travis, 6 to 9. Cowherd, 9 to – these are all Eastern time zones, guys. I know Phillip's on a different time zone than myself. 6 to 9 Eastern in the morning, Clay Travis. 9 to 12, 9 to noon is Colin Cowherd. Noon to 3 is Dan Patrick. SVP and Marcello from 3 to 6. And then 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. is Marty and McGee. I love that. I forgot about Marty and McGee. But when it comes to me, myself, I'm going to go back a little bit, a little nostalgic, but also go a little bit new school as well. And also keep in mind, Philip, I want to do some – I believe every radio show, at least at the national level, should at least be on YouTube. I'm not saying make it a video – like make it a TV show, but Dan Patrick is a show on video, but it's a radio show. So you can still do both at the same time. So all of these guys you mentioned, I think that'd be great. If you would just put Cowherd in a room, camera, go. People will watch that every day of the week. But for my morning show, I am going Clay Travis. And I was almost going to go Mike and Mike. I'm not the biggest Mike Greenberg fan. I think he's too much New York, way too much New York Jets, too much New York Knicks. And it's really, really annoying. So I am going Clay Travis, and that wasn't really the idea or the plan, but I do believe that's kind of how things have to go. Now, my second time slot, 9 a.m. to 12 noon, I'm going Dan Patrick, not Colin Cowherd. Present day, current, I think Dan Patrick is the guy. Easily the best interviewer in the business. So Dan Patrick, to me, is the second time slot from 9 a.m. until 12 noon. 12 to 3 is interesting. Because I want to go Cowherd. I want to go Jim Rome. I also want to go SVP and Russillo. I am going to go Jim Rome 12 to 3. And I think I have to because I still think Jim Rome is the guy. Present day Cowherd is not what it was on the radio. And I'm so turned off by him currently that I have a hard time putting him in that slot. Jim Rome is next. And then from 3 to 6, I'm with you. Give me SVP and Russillo and then call it a day. But then for 6 to 9, I have to have my guy, Freddie Coleman and Ian Fitzsimmons. Like, Freddie Coleman, I think, can go any time slot. Ian Fitzsimmons, not just because he's a big college football guy, but he's really good on radio. Mm-hmm. But those guys can carry you at a national level at that time of day, which I believe is really, really hard. East Coast, 6 o'clock, you're probably home having dinner or on your evening commute. West Coast, 3 o'clock, you're still at work. So you can't go like full on, let's relax. But you also need to get some guys, maybe a little afternoon pick-me-up to get them through the rest of their day. I think Freddie Coleman and Ian Fitzsimmons, let me write this down. Rome, and then SVP, and then Freddie and Fitz. That's a show. It's weird because I wanted to go with Zach Gelb, 6 to 9. I want to bump it. Now, I'll take honorable mention would be Zach Gelb, but I think Freddie and Fitzsimmons, they hit every demographic at that time of day, and I have to have them in my lineup.
Yeah, that's a good one. And I have in the past listened to Freddie Coleman. I mean, he's been on ESPN radio forever. Yeah. I mean, that guy has been there. I mean, we could have went further. I mean, you could have went further, you know, the overnight guys. I remember when it used to actually be overnight guys on
there.
Who's
your overnight? Let's end it there. We're almost out of time. Who's your overnight person?
So, used to, you know, the station I was telling you about here in Dothan, they were Fox Sports Now there, one time ESPN, but way back when, I don't know if you ever had this where you're from, Jay, but they had Sporting News Radio.
I remember it. I remember that's going back in time.
And late at night, I think he's retired from radio now, was Todd Wright. It was Todd Wright Tonight. Before he was doing that, he was doing the overnight over at ESPN. He was super great. He talked anything you want to talk about, NASCAR, golf, fantasy, whatever. But he was a great guy. He had a great show. He is a one I would do if I was going to do the 9 o'clock hour.
So now my overnight, I'm going from the 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. time slot. So not the 9 o'clock in the evening. I'm going more like literal like graveyard shift type of thing. It's a toss up between Ben Maller from Fox and then Amy Lawrence from CBS. I got to go Amy Lawrence. 10 years ago, literally about 10 years ago, I lived in Arkansas, and I worked nights. I worked at UPS. Go in at 10, get off at 2. Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio is a new thing. She got me home on the radio, got my sports fix in the morning. Easy to listen to. Yes, it's a female. I don't care. I do not discriminate. And she had the humor, but she knew how to connect with the truck driver, the warehouse worker, somebody who had to wake up early to feed their baby. You had to connect with everybody. So to me, a little different time slot, but Amy Lawrence hits that every time.
And if you're worried with mine with the 9 to the 12, you could all, which I'm going on Central Time, which you could always pull in a West Coast duo to do that. And I used to listen, because I will admit this, Jab, I don't usually tell who I'm fans of. I'm a Lakers fan. So I used to listen to a lot of the podcasts from ESPN LA. Max Kellerman or Marcellus Wiley used to do a show together.
Oh, my gosh.
Bring those two back to do the kind of what I have is overnight. But except for them, it's like 7 o'clock their time.
Yes.
The 10, their time. So I think those would be fun. You've got Max with his over-the-top opinions. And you obviously got the former NFL guy in Marcellus.
Forgot about it. Philip, we're up out of time. I have to do this again down the road, probably shortly, like sooner rather than later, and discuss more of this topic, radio and stuff like that, why we love it, how to improve it. I'll text you about a time. I have a date and maybe soon, like really soon. But, Philip, this has been fun, man. Where can people listen to your show? Where can people catch your writing? Where can people catch you if they want to continue the conversation with Philip Jordan outside of the space where he's here on the Jay Stevens podcast?
Of course, you can just follow me on Twitter at PJordanSEC. The Philip Jordan Show is on all your favorite podcast platforms. It's on the Philip Jordan Media YouTube channel as well. Just dropped a new episode with Tony Sakalas and Barry McKnight talking Alabama and Troy football. Check out my written work at Last World Calls Football. And I'm doing some content for a website called The Wiregrass Daily News, Alabama, Auburn, and Troy related. Of course, and if you want to check out some cool high school stuff, down at 969 The Legend, I do stuff there as well. Where I'm the in-studio host and producer for Dustin Wolves Football, producer for The Coaches Show, and also host the Wiregrass High School Football Report.
I thought I was a busy man. Philip Jordan is way busier than I thought I was. Philip, fun having you on the show. And I do look forward to talking about more like the nerd radio stuff that you and I talk about off air, first on air conversation about it. Look forward to doing it before football season, maybe before the month of July is over here once again with you, Philip. Thanks for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Always down for it, Jay, and I always appreciate you having me on.
Talking about people getting laid off isn't fun. It's never an enjoyable conversation talking about the way somebody lost their job. But I feel like today's conversation was a good one and a healthy one due to what went down at the Worldwide Leader. Come back next week. Philip will be back with us once again discussing the rise and fall of ESPN Radio. Not fall like it's not a thing anymore, but it's not what it was decades ago. Philip Jordan will be back with us next week here on the Jay Stevens Podcast. This has been episode 282 of the Jay Stevens Podcast. I will see you next time.